source of resurrection and of eternal life. Amen.
We are going to come into a time of prayer, and we just will take this moment of silence as we get started to quiet our hearts and our minds and be open to God's presence. And so if you will bow your heads and close your eyes and pray with me. Gracious and holy God, we come before you today with hearts full of praise and gratitude for the gift of your Holy Spirit. When you departed from this earth, you left us with a promise, a hope. A hope that even as you sit on the throne, your presence can and will be felt here and now. It is in the spirit of thanks and celebration that we lift our joys up to you this morning. For we know that every blessing in our lives comes directly from you, God, and your unfailing love and grace. We know that your Holy Spirit works within us and around us in times of joy and in times of pain. And that is why we also take this moment to lift our concerns up to you, Father. For you are with us on the tops of the highest of mountains and with us down in the deepest of valleys. This morning we lift up the sick and the broken and the hurting. We lift up those suffering from disease and addiction. We lift up the depressed and the downtrodden. For we know that you yearn for all of your children to feel the love and hope that we have found in your Son, Christ Jesus. And now, Father, we come before you this morning, and we pray the words that you taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
This space looked very different 2 days ago, as there were over 250 children along with a lot of youth and adult volunteers here for Vacation Bible School, and what a week it was. We wanted you, in case you didn't get to be a part of it at all, to catch just a glimpse of what the week was like. So we've got a short video to show you this morning, so take a look. You may not have been able to catch some of those little voices because there was so much noise around them, but some of those kids were reciting scripture verses that they were learning this week. What a wonderful thing that those words sank into their hearts. Things like, I know the plans I have for you, God says, plans for a future filled with hope. And things like, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. What a wonderful set of messages that they carry with them from BBS. Now, you saw lots of kids in that video. I want to tell you about one particular pair of kids and how we had the opportunity to minister to them this week. Just a couple of days before BBS started, Elizabeth Jones, our Director of Children and Family Ministry, got a message from someone who's a member of our congregation who had a friend who she was aware that this family is going through some tough times right now. The husband is having some health challenges, and the family does not have a church home. And she reached out to Elizabeth to say, is there any way that we could make room at the last minute for these two kids to come and be a part of Vacation Bible School? And could we scholarship them the opportunity to come and participate in BBS? And Elizabeth said, of course, absolutely. And the report at the end of the week was these two kids have had an amazing time. They were so excited to receive a CD at the end of the week with all the songs that they had been singing to be able to take and keep playing and learning. What a gift that was. And who knows what kinds of seeds might have been planted for those children and for their whole family because of the hospitality and the welcome they received. So as we get ready to share our tithes and offerings today, I want to say to you thank you. Because one of the ways BBS happens and other ministries that happen through the life of this church that provide those kinds of opportunities is through your faithful and generous giving. So thank you for making these kinds of opportunities possible. Would you pray with me? God, we are so grateful that children can come here and have such a great week filled with fun and joy and laughter, and also filled with learning how deeply you love them. thank you for that privilege. And today we pray that whatever we have to offer that we bring, you would use in ways that continue to fulfill your purposes for us as your church, here, right within the walls, and also in this community and beyond. In Christ's name we pray.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonder of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What is this word?"
The account of that first day of Pentecost from Acts 2, the Word of God for the people of God. That was the Word of God for the people of God that you just saw. Those are the words of Scripture from Acts chapter 2. So let me invite you now to bow your heads and pray with me as I share this message with you, as I pray for you in receiving it. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when we think about Pentecost, when we think about the Holy Spirit, probably several different images come to mind. One of those is fire, because in Acts 2, it says, and the Spirit came and rested on them with tongues of fire. We also might think about wind, because it says, and the whole house was filled with a violent wind, the rush of a violent wind. Or we might think about the word breath, the breath of the Spirit, because the word for Spirit comes from the Greek word pneuma and the Hebrew word ruah, which really have the literal meaning of breath. And then, of course, we might think about the Holy Spirit as a dove that descended on Jesus when he was baptized, and God said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." But there's this another image of the Holy Spirit as well. It's also an image of a bird, but it's not that peaceful and calm image of a dove. Instead, it is the image of a wild goose. Yes, a wild goose. Why a wild goose? Because sometimes the Spirit doesn't just hover over us in a comforting and reassuring way. Sometimes the Spirit disturbs us and perturbs us. It swoops in like a wild, unpredictable goose. You know, wild geese are not tameable or controllable. You can't restrain a wild goose or bend it to your will. And unlike the sweet cooing of a dove with the gentle flapping of its wings, the wild goose is noisy and raucous. Its wings are strong and powerful. Its honk is loud and startling. And let's face it, when the Holy Spirit came on that very first day, on the day of Pentecost, it was a noisy and raucous event. You remember on the night before Jesus was crucified, he gathered the disciples around him and he told them that he was going away from them, but he would be sending someone to come and to be with them. This advocate, this Spirit that would be with them always and would guide them and direct them. Then after his crucifixion and resurrection, he appeared to the disciples numerous times over a period of 40 days, and then he was taken up to heaven to sit at the right hand of God, like I shared about last week. But after his ascension, he never appeared in physical form again to the disciples. And so they waited. They waited for the coming of the one that Jesus had promised. They waited not knowing what to expect or when it would happen or how it would happen. That day, the day of Pentecost, is when it happened. The Holy Spirit came with the sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire rested on their heads. And among them, it was noisy and unnerving. And everyone started speaking in the native language, not of themselves, but of someone else. And they understood people who were talking in their own native languages. Everyone was speaking all at once. It was startling and unsettling. And the crowds were amazed and astonished. Some wondered how this could possibly be happening, and others just thought that the disciples were drunk. It says, "So surely they are filled with new wine." They thought the disciples were drunk. The Spirit may have descended on Jesus at his baptism like a serene and peaceful dove. But on the day of Pentecost, it surely appears more like a wild and noisy goose. Winds like the flapping of wings and tongues of fire like the honk of geese flying overhead. So I'm thinking about Pentecost in a coming of the Holy Spirit, and the image of the wild goose, which kind of is associated with Celtic Christianity. And I thought about how, as Christians, we are really on a wild goose chase. With Jesus no longer with us in physical form, we as Christians are called to listen for and follow the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ here with us now. And sometimes that's easier said than done. Sometimes trying to keep up with the Holy Spirit and follow where we are led is like being on a wild goose chase. So I Googled wild goose chase and Holy Spirit, and it turns out that I'm not the first one to ever think about this. There's actually a book by Mark Batterson called The Wild Goose Chase, and it too is talking about the Holy Spirit and the strong and powerful presence in our lives and what it means to fully embrace following the Spirit as the wild goose. You know, for most of us, we want nothing more than the presence of Jesus to be with us and to tell us how to follow Christ. We want to follow the Holy Spirit. We want to chase after the Holy Spirit. But often it takes a lot more courage and willingness than we might assume. I think about those who were asked to follow Jesus and yet wanted to do it on their own terms. You remember Jesus is walking down the road and he calls out to someone and tells him to follow him. And the man says, "Yes, but first let me go and bury my father." I mean, that's a reasonable and responsible thing to want to do, right? And yet Jesus' response to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. How many of us have concerns like that? It's not an excuse. It's a very valid reason to put off following the Holy Spirit in a new direction. Burying your father, that's a good and responsible thing to do, like I said, but not apparently if Jesus wants you to follow him right then. Ouch. That hurts. Follow me, Jesus said. Follow me. And following Jesus, sometimes we need to follow those geese where we don't want to go. They are wild and they are untamed and they have a habit of sometimes even wanting to bite those who want to capture or contain them. Sometimes as a church, you know, we get comfortable in our normal patterns of doing things, our ways of being. And we need someone to sound the alarm and to let us know that maybe we've fallen asleep on the job. Maybe we've gotten a little too concerned with just the status quo. Did you know that geese are good at sounding an alarm? There's an ancient legend about geese warning the Romans when they were about to be attacked. Their enemies, the Gauls, were on the attack. They were going up to the Roman fortress on a hill, and it was the capital, and the geese were the ones who sounded the alarm. You see, the Romans kept geese as a sacred bird, and when these enemies were approaching, the geese began screeching and making such a racket that the Romans awakened and were alerted to the attack. In fact, geese are such an effective alarm that they are still used today in something known as the Scotch Watch. It's amazing what you learn when you're researching for a sermon, and I learned that maybe some of you are familiar with something with Ballantine's 17-year-old Scotch whiskey. I won't make you raise your hand. It's made in Scotland, and it's housed outside of Dumbarton, and as well as having a state-of-the-art security system, and as well as having a security guard on watch 24 hours a day in order to protect this expensive inventory. Valentine's is famous for using a very unique line of defense. A gaggle of ferocious white geese that sound the alarm and start flapping their wings and making startling honks if anyone is trying to break in. These geese are known as the Scotch Watch. Throughout the history of God, throughout the history of the church, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has sounded the alarm for us to remind us not to get too comfortable with the status quo and to initiate reform and revival and renewal whenever it's necessary. Think about Martin Luther. On October 31st, 1517, he got fed up with the church selling indulgences, selling the right to indulge so that then you could be forgiven of that sin after you indulge. And so he sounded the alarm, and he changed the status quo. In his frustration, he posted the 95 Theses on the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. He was led by the Spirit. Just do this one courageous act. And yet, it initiated the Protestant Reformation. And then in 1521, Luther was brought before Charles V and put on trial for his beliefs. But he did not back down. Instead, he had the courage to follow the wild goose and is quoted as saying this, "My conscience is taken captive by God's word. I cannot and will not recant anything. For to act against our conscience is neither safer for us nor open to us. On this I take my stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." Again and again, when things appear to be firmly in the control of hierarchies and the religious establishment, God sounds the alarm by the power of the Holy Spirit and works through people and situations to break free and to move forward. Following the wild goose can be quite frightening. Sometimes because we know where God is leading us, and that's frightening. And sometimes when we don't know where God is leading us. In Batterson's book, I was amazed to learn a story of some missionaries from the early 20th century. These missionaries knew exactly where God was calling them, and it was a frightening endeavor. In fact, they were actually known as one-way missionaries, because when they left to go and be missionaries in these places, they booked a one-way passage, and they brought with them all of their belongings in a wooden coffin, knowing that is how they would return. Now, one of those missionaries was A.W. Milne. His wild goose chase led him to attempt to share the good news with a tribe of headhunters in a small cluster of islands in the South Pacific. All the other missionaries that had gone before him had been martyred, but that did not keep Milne away. He lived among the missionaries for 35 years and never returned home. But when the tribe buried him, they wrote this epitaph on his gravestone: "When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness." He had to have been frightened. He chased the tailwind of this wild goose, and look where it took him, and look what God could do with his faithfulness. This week, Steve and I and a group of about 10 lay folks from Trinity went to the annual conference of the United Methodist Church in Lakeland. And on Friday evening, they shared this wonderful worship service about some of the new and exciting things that God is doing in the Florida area as we chase that wild goose. One of the things is that over in that land over there in Tallahassee, FAMU, Florida A&M University, is restarting a campus ministry. It is continuing to grow, and now they are at the point where they need to provide a space for them. And the university doesn't have space for them, so they're actually buying a place to meet. And the woman who is leading it, Patricia, she is a former math professor at FAMU, but is leaving that to pursue ministry because she loves these students and she loves Jesus. She is going to rock it. She's just amazing. And then we also learned that more than 14 congregations are participating in Zoe, as we are participating in Zoe, helping orphans, empowering orphans in Rwanda and other countries in Africa to be entrepreneurs and to become self-sustaining in a period of 3 years. 14 congregations in Florida are now enabling 1,000 orphans to enter into the program. And this year, we're going to have a $42,000 grant from the conference so that we can get more churches involved and be able to empower twice as many orphans. It's just amazing. And then there are all these fresh expressions of ministry that are happening all over the conference. Things like church in your kayak on the river. Like church in a tattoo parlor. And dinner church. And like Trinity is doing, Bibles and Brew and holy yoga. God is at work as we chase this wild goose in new and different directions. And then Saturday morning, we were able to celebrate, that was just yesterday morning, we were able to celebrate the ordination of Reverend Lenora Russo. She, along with 50 other people, were ordained, commissioned, or licensed as local pastors to serve churches in Florida. It was a wonderful and beautiful celebration and service. And then at the end of the service, as is the tradition in that service, the bishop extends an invitation to anyone who is there in the congregation. There are lots of clergy, but clergy families and lay people from all over the Florida area. And he extends an invitation. If anyone feels led to begin to explore a call into ministry. Now, I was sitting with the clergy up at the front, but I kind of just waited and wondered, and then sure enough, two of our college students from Trinity came forward feeling a call to explore ministry. Erica Penley and Joel McGinn. Erica had felt led to work for a nonprofit and to work with justice and compassion. But after being at annual conference and all of the wonderful experiences she's having with Trinity, like she's an intern with our children's ministry, she's worked in Stepping Stones, she feels now that God is leading her toward ordination as a deacon to be able to do justice and compassion ministries through the church. And Joey McGinn, years ago, I think he wondered about the possibility of going into ministry, but didn't know that door would open for him. And now he feels that he is called to begin exploring that. And then Megan Williams was there, and Megan has been at Trinity for about 3 years, and she's experienced a call into ministry. She's been working with Ward at Faith Mission, Ward Simonson at Faith Mission. And she has already applied and been accepted and will start seminary in the fall. God is doing some amazing things and leading people as they open themselves to chase the wild goose challenges us and surprises us, but we can get caught up in the wind of its formation. It's startling. It's unpredictable. And yet it's the power of the Holy Spirit that takes us places that we may not want to go or have ever thought of going at a time that may not seem the right time to do it, and in a way with which we might not be comfortable. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and explaining what it means to be born again and follow Christ, he says, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you will hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." What would that look like in your life? What would it look like if you were to catch the tailwind of the Holy Spirit and begin or continue to follow? What would that look like for us, church? What would that look like for us, Trinity? Where might that wild goose be taking us? We can only know when we start listening for the startling sound of that wild goose sounding the alarm and take flight to join it. We probably won't know our final destination. It's a risk worth taking. It's a fear worth overcoming. It's a flight worth joining. "In the last days," says God, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions, and your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and cloud of smoke and wild geese. The sun will not be changed into darkness. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, God, we pray this morning that you would help us to catch the tailwind of the Holy Spirit, to listen to the alarm of the wild goose that leads us, to be open to joining in that flight. God, we don't know where it will lead or what it will entail or how it will happen. We trust in you. We know that you will find the way and you will show us the way.
book of Acts, after we hear about the day of Pentecost and the birth of the church, we're told that that gathered community committed itself to three things. One of those things was to the breaking of bread together. From the very beginnings of church, we have, as a part of our worship, remembered the meal that Jesus introduced on the night before he died. When he gathered with his disciples for that last time before he would offer up his very being out of love for the sake of each of us and for the world. On that night, he took bread and he broke it and shared it with him and said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took a cup and he gave thanks, shared it with him and said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do it, do it in remembrance of me." And so we come, knowing that Christ has made a way for every one of us and welcomes us this morning to be nourished, to be a part of the body of Christ as we share this meal. Let's pray with me. Good and gracious God, may our hearts be filled with thanksgiving as we come to receive these gifts. Pour out your Holy Spirit on every person here and on the bread and the wine, so that in receiving them we might recognize the presence of Christ in these gifts and among us, that we might be nourished, bound together as a people called to live at one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until that day when we feast at your heavenly banquet. In Christ's name we pray. I'll invite those who are serving this morning to come at this time and help prepare these gifts to share with the congregation. Here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always open to everyone who is gathered. This is Christ's table, and it is filled with love and mercy. So we'll invite you to come to the pair of servers that is either in front of your section or closest to your section this morning. We'll start with the first row in each section, coming out the left side and returning by the right. You'll receive bread, then take the bread and dip it into the cup. After you've received, you can return to your seats, or if you'd like, feel free to come and spend some time on your knees at the front in prayer with the one who loves you so deeply. Everything is ready and you're welcome to come. Thank you. God, we give you thanks that by the mystery of your grace, you have nourished us through this time and through this meal. May we rise to go out in love and service to the world, that in us they may find the grace that they need for their lives.
After the first service this morning, somebody on their way out said, well, the sermon gives new meaning to honk if you love Jesus. But as you go out today, may you know in your heart the love of God.